Who is this guy?
I'm Batman.
You sound like Cookie Monster.
I'm Batman. That's Batman.
I'm Batman.
Listen, I'm Batman.
Oof, you even sound like a bad guy.
I swear I am a good guy.
Okay, Mr. Batman.
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 That's what I said, Batman.
No, you're saying Batman. Listen, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
This is the Batpod. Batpod.
Grab your bat microphone, it's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate, it's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it. Drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Batpod.
Welcome to the Batpod. My name is Bill Beer, and joining me tonight, Jay Loving.
Good evening.
Good evening. How's it going, sir?
It's going really well. I went to my local comic shop today, which has reopened. So the world makes a little more sense now, again.
Pretty cool. It's been like 2 months, almost.
That's 9 weeks is when he was born. Yeah. Yeah, 9 weeks. Is
how 9 weeks. Wow. But no Batman books yet. I think next week is our first Batman book.
I think so, yes.
Batman number 92, if I remember correctly.
I believe that is correct,
sir. Is out next week. We have another back issue show tonight. And tonight we're going to cover Batman Shadow of the Bat number 59 and Batman Holy Terror Elseworlds story. We have a little topic of the week. And of course, Stump the co-host.
Yay and stuff.
Let's head to the books.
The Batpod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
We are a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
Our first book tonight is Batman Shadow of the Bat, number 59. Cover date, February of 1997. Your writer is Alan Grant. Your penciler, Dave Taylor. Inker, Stan Walk. Colorist, Pam Rambo. Letter, Bill Oakley. Associate editor, Jordan B. Gorfinkel. And editor, Dennis O'Neill. And in this issue, Arnold Wesker, also known as the Ventriloquist, has a nightmare while at Blackgate Prison, and one of the guards is accidentally killed by a sniper referred to as the Killer's Killer, intending to kill Wesker. Rhino of Scarface's gang is frustrated that he can't get Scarface to talk, even though he's read the book How to Throw Your Voice. He is confronted by Tommy Glancy and his thugs, and is being taken away before Scarface speaks up and gives Rhino a little self-confidence to take out the gang. Scarface calls up the Penguin for help to break out Wesker from Blackgate. We also see Batman doing some detective work to try to solve these killers' killer murders. Wesker is being evaluated by a doctor, and some childhood trauma is revealed involving an albatross. Wesker is broken out of Blackgate by some gentlemen disguised as Arkham Asylum doctors, and the issue ends with Scarface saying, "De Gig Gerd is gonna die." The first thing that comes to mind when I think of this book or see this book has to be the cover. The cover's incredible. It's almost like a painted cover of Scarface with his mouth open. It's kind of hard to describe. I would say it's painted because the covers, the colors are kind of, you know, there's not one single solid color. It like changes. And I'm not an art major of any stretch of the imagination, so I don't know what that's called, but the cover is pretty awesome.
Yes. I agree. I think it is painted, and I think it's actual painted. I mean, nowadays you can do digital art. It looks like a painting.
Right.
But this is from 97, before there was really anything much sophisticated in the way of digital art. So
no. So I've said before in the past that one of my favorite characters is the ventriloquist in Scarface. And I really like in this issue how they really go into a character study of Arnold Wesker. We see traumas that we haven't seen before in this book. You know, we see the albatross and how it relates to Wesker growing up as a kid and his parents being killed, basically, and he thinks it's from this albatross and a bad omen. His dual personality, you know, he has this nightmare at the beginning that he thinks that Scarface is taking him over. He doesn't have any control, but I think that's partly due to his dual personality, because there at the end when he says, it's time to kill the bird, you actually think he's talking about the penguin, but if you go into, because this is a two-part story, if you go into the next issue, you see that he's talking about the bird, the albatross. So what did you think of this issue?
Oh, very enjoyable. It was a good story. I have not read this one, so I'm actually going to go and get... I've got both of these issues.
Yeah.
I've got a big chunk of Shadow of the Bat collected, so I'm going to go ahead and read this part two to this story to finish it out. But I thought it was very good. Like I said, a good character study of Wesker. I liked the splash page. You liked the cover, and that cover was great, but the splash page was pretty amazing, too. It shows this enlarged head of Scarface, and he's actually got Wesker as the puppet.
Yes.
Sort of like a role reversal. Yeah, it's a good character study of Wesker, because Wesker is now in Blackgate Prison, but it's almost like he's happy to be there because he's gotten out of the influence of Scarface, gotten Scarface out of his head, as it were.
Exactly. That he's safe there.
Yes. This is sort of a haven for him, and he doesn't really... In fact, he even objects after the Penguin's men spring him out of prison. He tells them to take him back because he doesn't want to... He wants anything other than to have Scarface reassert his influence over him.
Well, I think he knows that as soon as he sees Scarface, he's not going to have a choice.
Oh, yeah. It's all over but the shouting at that point.
Yeah. So, the one thing I wasn't sure about when I read this is... You know, you have one of Scarface's old thugs, the Rhino, there. And when Scarface starts talking, I assume that it's the Rhino throwing his voice, but I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not either.
Yeah, the lightning strikes, and all of a sudden, Scarface is talking. And this is done by Alan Grant, who's one of the creators of this character, so... I'm just curious. You know, they added some other elements after this character was created. There was Showcase 94 that had a story that went into his origin in Blackgate Prison and how Scarface was actually created. And they mention it, the gallows of 100-some men were hung, and he was carved from these gallows, kind of a, I guess, the wood was cursed.
Right.
So it was implied that, you know, besides the ventriloquist being very good at what he does, it is implied something with the cursed wood added into all that, which seemed kind of interesting.
The only thing I would say was that maybe it was Rhino, because later in the story, after they've gotten Wesker out, and they're kept taking him to this abandoned building, you know, all of a sudden Scarface comes out the window and says, "Welcome back, Arnold." Then Rhino says, "I finally got the hang of ventriloquism."
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So maybe he did, you know, in that moment of pressure under stress, as he's about to be thrown into the bay, that he was able to finally figure out how to do it.
We see his parents got killed by a truck called Display Dummies on the side. Spivvy's Display Dummies. After they see an albatross, and he tells his father as a little kid, "I hate you. I want to go home." His father doesn't really react to that, or his mother. So, yeah, this was very interesting. And I also like to see that, you know, Batman using his detective skills, you know, finds a piece of material that was left by the killer and is investigating. And
right.
So I did enjoy that part. I like that scene where he shows up at that bar or hideout. I guess it's a thug's hideout. And they just start shooting at him and cards are going everywhere. And then he mentions, I won't waste my time repeating myself because they definitely missed.
Yes.
I really like this one. The second part, the covers are similar. It's not.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of artwork in the next issue, but it's different. A different pose for Scarface.
Interesting.
So I think I like this one. So yeah. So anything else you want to add about this particular issue?
Just like I say, I'm going to definitely go back and read the second part of this because I enjoyed the story and it's not one I'd come across before.
Yeah, and I know going back and reading some of these Shadow of the Bat issues, there are some very good issues in there, and some of the creators that are on the books.
Yes.
It's very top of the line.
Yes, the very first arc of Shadow of the Bat, I think the first four or five issues are the one where Batman goes into Arkham Prison himself.
Right.
And it's a damn good storyline.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the first appearance of Zsasz.
Vaz, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
First appearance of Victor Zsasz.
So pretty cool, pretty cool. So we'll go ahead and head to our topic of the week.
The Batmobile. Let's go. How many batteries to power?
And our topic this week is Commissioner Gordon's greatest stories / issues or issue. And when I thought of this particular idea, it's a very large, you know, it's hard to come up with three stories and say, hey, these are the greatest ones. There's so much, you know, story with Commissioner Gordon. He's been around since the beginning, so I kind of went in a different direction. I don't know what you did exactly. I kind of went to more obscure stuff than, you know, some of the more popular stuff just to recommend to people that they might have overlooked. But we'll go ahead and start off with you, Jay. And what was your number three?
Well, try as I did, I could not come up with individual issues. So my answers are more on story arcs
that
featured Gordon. So number three for me, and I'm sure some people are going to roll their eyes when they hear this, for me was Batman Super Heavy, which was a story arc during Scott Snyder's run on the New 52 Batman.
Yep.
This is where it features Gordon as Batman in the mechanized suit that got the nicknamed the Bat Bunny suit that a lot of people didn't like at all. But I thought this was a very good story arc. You know, it got to show Gordon trying to, you know, Batman is supposedly dead. Everybody thinks he's dead. Gotham is in chaos. And here's Gordon trying to keep the legacy of Batman alive and give the city some hope. But, you know, he's not Batman. He doesn't have the skills that Batman. So he has to have this mechanized suit. And, you know, we see him over these several issues doing the best he can to try to keep the spirit of Batman going. And, you know, he's worked out, gotten himself buffed. He's tried to quit smoking again for the umpteenth time. And so, you know, I just thought it was a good story arc. It really showed, we got to say some sides of Gordon we don't normally see.
Yeah, I have to say it was pretty interesting. The initial, you know, when it was announced initially, I didn't fall in love with the idea. But as I went on, I enjoyed it. And it makes sense. It's like, okay, if Gordon was going to be Batman, how would he go about this? And it was sort of, you know, from the police angle of him being Batman. And of course, he doesn't have all the skills of Batman. So using the suit makes perfect sense.
Right, you know, he doesn't have even close to the fighting skills.
No,
you know, that Batman has, so he's got to have something, or he's not going to survive.
Right. So yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. I know a lot of people made fun of the bunny ears. I did. in that group, I will admit. So we'll get to my number three. And my number three was a single issue. And it's actually Detective Comics number 245. And it was actually reprinted in Batman Family number 2. And it's Commissioner Gordon, as we've never seen him before. There's criminals being smuggled out of Gotham. And the mayor has told Gordon that he wants Batman and Robin on the case. He says, Gordon, I don't want you involved. I want Batman and Robin because they're the only ones to solve this. So Batman and Robin actually get help from Mystery Man, a costume hero with a green costume, a hooded mask, and a big M on his chest for Mystery Man. And you find out in the end that this Mystery Man was actually Gordon in disguise. It was the only way he had a plan to catch these crooks, and the only way to do it without going against the mayor was being in disguise as Mystery Man. I really enjoyed this book. I don't know if you've ever read this one.
Don't recall having read it.
Yeah. It was a Gordon, you know, in his white hair and everything. Classic. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. If you haven't checked this out, this is one to check out. It's like, you know, golden age-ish type of Batman and Robin sort of thing. So that was my number three. As I said, I was going to do some more obscure stories, seek those out, than ones that are more popular. So we both have like a little variety.
Pretty good.
So what is your number two?
My number two would be the run Batman Year One.
Yes.
Which shows Gordon, you know, of course it's the first year of Batman, but it's also the first year of Gordon in Gotham. He's not yet commissioner. He's still a lieutenant, and he arrives in Gotham, which at this point, pre-Batman, the Gotham police is just corrupt from head to tail. I mean, he's like the only honest cop that, you know, and he's paired up with a partner who's corrupt and is on the take.
Yep.
And, you know, he's trying very hard, and then suddenly the Batman appears. And of course, at this point, he's just complete vigilante. The police are after him, and Gordon is one of the lead investigators. He even at one point suspects that Bruce Wayne is Batman, but Bruce is able to throw him off the scent. But of course, and then we, at the end, we get, you know, Gordon's son, Jim Jr., is kidnapped and rescued by the Batman, which kind of gives him a new take on this character.
Yep.
Again, a lot of character study on Gordon. We get to see the man who's coming to this town, viewing it sort of like a punishment. You know, he's having to come to a corrupt city, dirty city, a vile police force, and he's sort of fighting alone as the one honest cop in the city. And, you know, how he begins developing the relationship with Batman. I just thought it's a good character study for him.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this year one, yeah, it's Batman year one, but it's also Jim Gordon, like, year one.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you get out of Jim Gordon is not what we see all the time. It really gets into his character and, you know, his marriage and that sort of thing. Things we don't normally see all the time. So that might be one of the best, if not the best, you know, stories with Jim Gordon. I mean, there's so many to choose from, but that's one that's going to be popular. That's for sure.
Right.
So we'll go to my number two. And my number two is a book that is not available digitally, and I own a copy that's in very, very, very poor condition. And it's Batman number 71. Are you familiar with that one?
No.
Okay. Batman number 71. Commissioner Gordon wants to learn Batman's secret identity. And he gets Batman, who's injured, to use his washroom in his office, and Gordon has a two-way mirror, and he really wants to know who Batman is, but he wants to use his detective skills and doesn't want to cheat by looking through this two-way mirror to try to figure out who he is. So he devises a couple plans. One of the plans is he has a dinner party and invites all his closest friends who he thinks might be Batman. and he has one of his men at the station turn on the bat signal, thinking that maybe one of the men would flee when the bat signal is on, and that's who Batman would be. But it backfires when there's a house fire and everybody goes running out. And Gordon tries some other tricks. He tries to get Batman's handwriting. He tries to get Batman to weigh himself on a scale. He invites Batman to dinner and invites other suspects. And it all backfires. With the handwriting, he writes with his left hand because he says his right hand's injured. When he weighs himself, he has a bunch of guns in his pocket, so it throws his weight off. At the dinner, he has his friend invite the rest of the suspects, his friends, and Robin has already heard the conversation, so he called all his friends away so they wouldn't be home when they called.
Interesting.
And so Gordon gets frustrated, and he goes back to the bathroom one-way mirror trick again, but this time he sees who Batman really is, and Gordon goes through a lot of, you know, trouble keeping this secret. He has a nightmare. He actually wrecks his car. It's really bothering him, you know, with this secret. He has this secret. And we eventually find out that Batman actually tricked Gordon into thinking he was somebody else to protect this other person. Gordon actually gives up the idea who Batman is. And Batman, when he's leaving at the end of the issue, he actually drops a deposit slip out of his pocket for the bank. And Gordon decides to burn it, and he destroys the mirror and said he has learned his lesson. So, that's my number two. Have you ever read that one or heard that
No,
one?
No, okay. But I want to.
Yeah.
I have to go find a copy of it now, since it's not on digital.
Yeah, I found a really bad copy. It has the cover, but it's coming off. But yeah, it's a very entertaining story, especially at the end there. He loses his was Batman going to the bank to make a deposit?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my number two obscure, you know, Commissioner Gordon tale. What is your number one?
My number one is the story arc Batman the Black Mirror. This is the last story arc of Detective Comics before they started New 52. It's the first time Scott Snyder wrote Batman. And, you know, in this story, we've got Batman, who is Dick Grayson. Bruce Wayne has not come back to take over the mantle of Batman, but you've got Batman with Dick Grayson. But what makes this a Jim Gordon story is that in the storyline, we have the return of James Gordon Jr., who is now shown to be psychotic and a remorseless killer, or just a pure psychopath, and, you know, starts unleashing some of his craziness. And of course, Gordon has to deal with this, as well as Barbara. Barbara has a good sense of still maintaining her perspective and saying that James Jr. is a psychopath. Jim Gordon, like any father would, you know, is trying to give his son the benefit of the doubt, hoping he can redeem him, but to no avail. So it's really a poignant, kind of painful story arc for Jim Gordon, having to deal with this. His son, knowing what his son is, who's completely on the opposite side of law from what his father is. And it's just it's a damn good story arc. This is, not only is The Black Mirror one of the best Jim Gordon stories, it's one of my absolute favorite Batman story arcs of all time. Could be arguably my favorite.
It is very good. It's very good. I mean, you see a side of Jim Gordon. You know, you don't really hear anything about his son. You know, he was there briefly in year one, but you didn't really hear. So this is a new aspect that Scott Snyder introduced, and it's pretty compelling. It's actually, there's a scene in there where Jim Gordon and his son are in a cafe or a restaurant, and they're talking. You know, his son is telling the story about, you know, he killed, like, the waitress or something as a joke.
Right.
A creepy scene. You see the water coming out of the bathroom under the door, and he goes in there to check. Very creepy scene. Maybe one of the creepiest scenes, but Yeah, I really, well, that basically propelled Scott Snyder into writing Batman when the New 52 started. That story right there. Yep,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a story we haven't really talked about on here, but yeah, it's one of the better ones.
And I like Dick Grayson as Batman.
Oh yeah.
I could, if they ever decided to permanently kill off Bruce Wayne and give Dick the Batman mantle, I'd be perfectly happy with that.
No, that will never happen.
I know it'll never happen. I'm just saying, if they decided to do that,
I'm conflicted about that, but I did like Dick Grayson as Batman. He was a very good Batman, and it would probably be fine. It would just rub me the wrong way for a couple months.
I understand.
Or until it changed back.
Right.
As long as it's not Rick Grayson.
I agree.
So, my number one story is a 4-issue miniseries by Chuck Dixon called Batman Gordon's Law from 1996. And Commissioner Gordon, you see Commissioner Gordon as a cop. It's a gripping, gritty story that puts Gordon on the streets fighting a battle of wits with corrupt cops, corrupt FBI, and everything else. Basically, the center of the story, it's a Federal Reserve Bank heist. Gordon gets a tip that it's cops that did it. He goes to Bullock at first and asks for his help. Bullock won't help. He says, I'm not going to go against cops. He says, I don't believe that cops did this. So, Jim Gordon has no other choice. Batman tries to insert himself in to help. He actually goes off on Batman at one point and said, this is a cop. This is for cops. It's not for vigilantes. He says, I don't need you. I can do this myself. So he actually goes to a couple people that he knows, former GCPD cops. One's a sheriff, a county sheriff, that he can trust. His nickname is Shotgun. And he gets them to help. There's an undercover cop that's involved, not in the corruption, but is involved in that sort of the gang that's involved with that. And there is a scene near the end where Gordon is at his end, his breaking point, because he can't figure out what's going on. And he actually thinks Batman is in his office and he starts talking to him and he turns around and says, the one time that you're not actually there, I'm talking. Yeah. It was a very good story. Is that a story that you've read before?
No, it's not. I read that one either.
It's very underrated. It's done by Chuck Dixon, mid-90s. Sarah Essen is in the books, so it's before she had died. And yeah, and the way it's colored in this, it's like has a bunch of gray in it. It's very noirish to me, the way it looks. It's very unique, but I loved it. I think it should be collected. I don't know if it's collected. I read it on when it came out, so I didn't look to see if it had been collected or anything. But it should be. I think it's a very underrated story. I've never heard anybody really talk about it.
I'm interested in all your choices. Yeah. I got to go back and read those because yeah. I'm not. Like I said, those are your right. They're fairly obscure, but
yeah, I just wanted to put out there some stories or issues that you could check out if you were interested, because we know the popular ones, we know the ones at the top, but there's some stories that you don't know about, and there's so many issues and so many stories in the history that, I mean, there could have been stories that I missed, you know, or you missed.
Oh, absolutely.
So if anybody out there has a story about Gordon you think is one of the best, let us know, because we'd like to hear it. If we haven't read it, we'd love to read it, that sort of thing.
Yeah, another obvious one that I actually considered briefly, but I decided against it, was, of course, The Killing Joke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, we see a lot of Gordon in that as he's being trying to be driven mad and in anguish after seeing Barbara shot. Yes. So, I mean, that was another...
Came out in the 80s, and it was a very mature-like story, for sure. Gut-wrenching type of story. That you saw the after effects for that for years.
Yes.
And there's always, you know, there's always that discussion about the ending where Batman and Joker start laughing, that people either love it or hate it type of thing.
Now, the question, of course, is, did Batman kill the Joker?
Right.
Big question everybody
in it initially
about,
you know. That wasn't in continuity.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, so there's been several things like that that weren't in continuity and then brought back. Grant Morrison did that with Damian, right. Basically.
Yes.
Yeah, that was our topic of the week. A pretty interesting one. So let's go ahead and head to our next book.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Our next book is the Elseworlds title, Batman Holy Terror. Alan Brennert, the writer. Norm Brayfogle, artist. Laverne Kindiscary, colorist. Bill Oakley, letterer. With a special thanks to Kevin Brayfogle, who I'm assuming is related to Norm. In a world where America is still part of the British Commonwealth and governed by a strict and ruthless theocracy, Bruce Wayne prepares to take the vows of holy orders and become a priest. But before he can do that, Inquisitor Jim Gordon tells him the shocking news that his parents were not killed in random violence, as Bruce thought, but instead were executed upon orders from the state. Bruce seeks out a doctor who worked with his father and learns that his parents were condemned for giving medical care to persons that the state had labeled as dangerous and undesirable. Bruce vows to exact revenge on those who murdered his parents. He finds a costume that his father wore years before in a play, a demon in the form of a bat. He then goes in search of the people that are responsible for his parents' murder. Along the way, he encounters a corrupt magistrate, learns of a secret society, finds a hidden laboratory where dozens of people are being held captive and subjected to terrible metagenic experiments, and he meets the evil priest who is trying to engineer a group of metahumans to do the biddings of the state. Your initial thoughts on the story? You said you never read it before.
No, I never read it before. This was very interesting. And as soon as I saw Norm Brayfogle, I'm like, you got me at Norm Brayfogle.
Absolutely.
This was very interesting. This was like a take I never imagined that we'd ever see here. It was just so original. Batman as a priest in vigilante, yeah. You know, and that bat costume, I kind of like it. The way it's very unique. The bat on it is kind of, you know, his wings are extended and they have these points, like 3 points on both sides. It's unique. And, you know, Norm Brayfogle drawing this adds into the enjoyment of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But him being a priest, Gordon telling him, you know, your parents were basically put down, and he doesn't react very well to that. He, like, goes off.
Yes. Yeah, Gordon. He's not happy at all.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we know Batman, Bruce, is driven by anger and a desire for revenge, but his revenge and, you know, the continuity is not nearly as apparent as it is in this story. I mean, he's literally wanting to go out and murder, kill the people that killed his parents initially. That's what he's wanting to do.
Well, he wants to dedicate his life, be a priest.
I know.
He's not Batman. The death of his parents don't shape him into Batman. What shapes him into Batman is finding out that his parents were murdered, basically. They were put down.
And that the church that he's committed to is part of this, you know, theocratic. He's found this faith that he's going to devote his life to. And then to find out that it's kind of built on a lie really, really shakes him up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he when Gordon tells him about how his parents were really killed, his first reaction is absolute rage at Gordon for telling him, because now it's ruined all of his plans. You know, he kind of made peace with the fact that his parents were killed, and now this is all opened back up. And then he finds out, you know, come to find out they were executed on state orders. And he goes ahead and goes through with it, takes his vows and becomes a priest. We see that at the end, that he's going to maintain, you know, his priesthood.
Yeah, he just wanted vengeance for his parents' death. And there was the one panel in there, you know, he has this look on his face, and he still has the bat costume, but he's putting on, you know, the white robes of his priest outfit, and wants this to be over, and once this over, he wants to go back to, you know, being a priest.
Yes.
We'll say it's interesting, that's for sure.
And like I said, we see a lot of the characters of DC in here in a different form.
Yeah.
We see Barry Allen, Arthur Curry, Aquaman.
Yeah.
Zatanna, who's now the kind of an evil priestess working with the, you know, the evil priest who turns out, you know, Ardell. Turns out to actually have a Jewish name, which in this theocracy, Jews, homosexuals, anybody who's on the margins is ostracized. We see a Clayface character in here. But these are all part people are either in captivity or being so it's, you know, like a lot of Elsewhere stories, we see the same basic characters, but they've all been recast a little bit, which is one of the things I like about Elseworlds is the freedom that you, the writer, or the creators have to
do almost anything,
to do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And like I say, I sound like a broken record, but I always keep reiterating that the Elseworld stories, some of the Elseworld stories are among my favorite all-time Batman tales for that same reason, because they're different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like I say, the artwork, you only have to say two words, Norm Breyfogle.
Yeah, Norm Breyfogle, yeah.
He's so good at doing emotions on faces. He can even make Batman under a cowl have an expression, which is not
right.
The easiest thing,
yeah.
Easiest thing to do. So.
There's some panels in there where he's, you know, attacking some of these people, and he has like this haunted smile on his face. It's not really a smile, but it's like a... And what did you think of that Batmobile?
That was a badass Batmobile.
Seriously. Never seen anything like it.
No, that was Breyfogle at his most creative.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even describe it.
No, it's not.
Some good panoramic scenes of churches and cathedrals and buildings, you know, that one of the other areas that Breyfogle excels in.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's one of my favorite stories. That's why I chose it. I wanted to bring it to the notice of others if they haven't read it.
Right, absolutely.
When people talk about Elseworld stories, this is not one of the first ones that usually comes to mind. And like I was telling you before we recorded, this was actually the very first story to carry the Elseworlds logo for Batman.
Yep, that's interesting because, yeah, there, when you think of Batman Elseworlds, you know, the vampire Batman, Red Rain comes to mind.
Right.
There's a couple other ones, but there are a lot of, there's at least a dozen or so Elseworld Batman stories, and some of them get pretty creative.
Yes.
This is definitely one of those that I didn't even realize that. There was a time when there was so much Batman stuff being released, you know, there in the 90s, that stuff could fall through the cracks.
You know,
I don't know how many, they had like 3 Batman books at least, and then they would throw in miniseries and Elseworlds. Unless you got everything, you could easily miss something.
Yeah, easily. And you're right to say, especially during from the mid-90s to the early 2000s, you had Batman and Detective, but you also had Shadow of the Bat, you had Legends of the Dark Knight, you had...
It was Gotham Knights at one point. No, Legend of the Dark Knights was like 80s, 90s. I mean, it was right there with... I mean, it didn't cross over very much with Batman and Detective, except I believe with the bigger storylines, it may have had a part in it.
Right.
You know, when they did a big crossover, but it was pretty much... I believe it was like out of continuity type stories that...
Right.
You could tell just any stories and you didn't have to worry about continuity. But
and I don't know when they ceased doing the Elseworlds logo. I know it was sometime in the early 2000s, but
yeah,
that's when most of the Elseworlds stuff was done, from the 90s into the early 2000s.
Now they sort of brought that back sort of with this black label.
Right. Yes. That's sort of the contemporary rendition of Elseworlds.
Yep. Yep. So very good.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
But now, it's time for Stump the Co-Host.
It's time for the Batpod Stump the Co-Host segment.
Welcome to Stump the Co-Host. And today, we have our co-host Jay, of course, here. And today's theme is Commissioner Gordon, of course. Fits right into our topic of the week. And of course, if you get both of these questions correct, you will win the cash and prizes, and you know you want to win the cash and prizes.
Absolutely.
So the first question is, things you didn't know about Commissioner Gordon. I'm going to give you five things that you possibly did not know about Commissioner Gordon. Four of them are correct, and one I made up. So number one, Commissioner Gordon had a butler named Finley. Number two, in pre-crisis continuity, has a son named Tony who is a secret agent. Number three, stars in a musical called Holy Musical Batman. Number four, Gordon is a crime boss called Boss Gordon on the crime syndicate's Antimatter Earth.
Oh, man.
And number five, Gordon's older brother is a firefighter in Metropolis. So, has a butler, has a son named Tony, was in a musical, is a crime boss named Boss Gordon, or has an older brother that is a firefighter.
That's it. Not one of those sounds even the slightest bit familiar. Okay, him being in a musical, that's the most outrageous one, so that's got to be true, almost. I'm going to go with A, had a butler named Finley.
If you said he had a butler named Finley, you would have been incorrect. That was actually in Batman number 71 that I mentioned previously. The butler was the one that invited Batman over to Gordon's place for dinner. It was his one and only appearance.
Interesting.
So, pre-crisis continuity, had a son named Tony who was a secret agent. That is correct. He ended up dying. There was a musical in 2012 called Holy Musical Batman, and Gordon was in it.
What was that in? What book was that in?
The musical?
Yeah.
No, that was in real life.
Okay.
It wasn't in a book.
Oh,
that was, sort of kind of tricky there. Grant Morrison's Earth 2, Gordon was a crime boss called Boss Gordon on the crime syndicate's world. And I made up Gordon's brother... older brother is a firefighter in Metropolis.
I should have known the crime boss because I've read the Earth 2 books, but yeah. It's been a while. So. Yeah.
So, our next question. Commissioner Gordon's first name wasn't revealed into what comic book issues? And I know you love these. You love these a lot. So, when was Commissioner Gordon's first name revealed in what issue of what comic book? Number one, Batman number one. Two, Detective Comics 27. 3. World's Finest 53. Or Batman 202.
Well, I know for damn sure it wasn't Detective Comics 27. Batman number 1, that still sounds a little early. Was it World's Finest 53? Is that what you said?
I said World's Finest 53 and Batman 202.
I'm going to take a flyer and say World's Finest 53. I think Batman 202 is too late.
If you said World Finest 53, you are correct. Commissioner Gordon was introduced, and it was his first name wasn't revealed for 12 years, and it didn't happen to World's Finest number 53. I found that interesting.
It is.
The other thing I found interesting, his wife's first name wasn't revealed very late in Detective also. She didn't have a name for the longest time. Until they revealed it was Barbara. So,
was that after they had introduced Barbara Gordon?
Yeah.
Okay, so, because his wife's name is Barbara as well.
Yep.
Okay, interesting.
Would you like to know what you would have won? I know you're going to be disappointed. But you would have won two free gift certificates to Killer Croc's Meat Shack. Yes, that's right. Enjoy a meal at Killer Croc's Meat Shack. Enjoy some exotic meat from buffalo meat to snake meat to alligator meat. There's only one problem. From time to time, Croc gets kind of angry at his busboys and kills them, and then he decides to use him as one of his meat. So it's a good thing you didn't win that because you didn't want to be there on that particular day.
No, definitely.
ridiculous.
Funny. So, that's funny.
We'll go ahead and wrap it up here.
If you'd like to contact us and be part of the Batpod, our email is batpodpodcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @pod_bat. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please consider giving us a review. We'd really appreciate it. Lastly, a big thank you to those who have liked and retweeted the show on Twitter or Facebook. Another group of good back issues. This is like our last episode of just back issues, because as I've said, Batman's back next week, and I would assume Detective Comics is soon after, so we'll have two new issues, and we're going to throw in the old ones like we had said, so it'll be a mix of new and old, and we'll still throw in our topic of the week there sometimes, and of course, Stump the Co-host sometimes. So we got some good issues there, some issues that maybe you didn't know about or stories you didn't know about to go check out, especially with Commissioner Gordon. We got the Elseworlds issue that everybody definitely should check out. So yeah, that was pretty good. So we'll be back in a few weeks. So until next time, same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later.
We'll be right back.